to be impressed with his faith. His name is Abram. And Abram, so we're going to begin with the story where God chooses a people to communicate with, that he has a plan, that they're going to be a vital part of the plan that God has so that he will bless the world. And eventually it leads to Jesus Christ, of course. But this is a major transition. So if you're interested in reading about, beginning of the 12th chapter of Genesis, about Abram and his journey and God speaking to a group of people, having a group of people that he works with, then this is a good Bible study. There are several reasons why I do this. There are three requirements. The first requirement is that you will pray before you open your Bible, before you do anything that particular day. You will ask God to speak to you. We have a God that's very active. We have a God that's always got a voice. In fact, over and over again, throughout scriptures, you can't find a page in the scripture that doesn't say God said or God commanded or God gave this instruction, whatever the case might be. And so we have a God that speaks. And if you have ears, you need to have ears to hear from this God. So God is always speaking to his people. You are his people. You here at New Heights are God's people. And so he's speaking, he reveals things to you. So the first thing you do is you become dependent upon the Spirit of God to say something to you every day. That would be a new transition for many of us. The second requirement is that you would read a common passage that I will give you a reference, maybe 10 verses or maybe 7 verses or maybe 15 verses. And you would read that passage and listening for God to speak to you. Now, when God speaks to you, he may say something about that passage. He may speak. God is not limited by the Bible. So many times it will relate to the scripture passage, but it's not necessary for that to be because God speaks to his people. All right, so you're going to ask God to speak to you. You're going to read a scripture passage every day. That would be a new habit to form and a good habit to form for each and every one of us. And then the last requirement is that you process it just enough to write down what you believe God said to you. You would write that down I ask you to type it up in an email, and you would send that email to me. Now, I'm going to read each and every one of them. I have about 16 people involved in it right now. We're re-upping, so if you, at the end of this 4 or 5 weeks that we do this, if you decide not to re-up for the next reading, that's fine. You're not quitting, you're just moving on to something else. But if you're interested in this, we'd like for you to sign up, and then you'll be a part of this study. The fourth thing is not a requirement, it's just something I'm going to do. I'll send you what God says to me that day. I'll send a paragraph or two or a sentence or two about what I believe God said to me that day. Now, you don't have to read that. That's not part of the requirement. But the three requirements is you ask God to speak to you, believe that he will, read scripture that you've been assigned to read for that day, and the third requirement is that you send an email back to me letting me know what you believe God said to you, okay? And this will help you to grow spiritually. It is without doubt one of those good things that we've started this last year here at New Heights that's making a difference in people's lives. So if you're interested, you can write it on the bulletin tab, you can email me, or just let us know in some way that you would like to do this. Tuesday, I'll send out the readings for the next week, and each day you would participate in this. All right, now to the message about the church. I've been preaching. Last Sunday, I preached on the church. This Sunday, I want to preach, and I titled today's message, Living New Heights Culture is Special. Living the New Heights culture is special. We're a unique church. There's not another church in the world like our church. We're unique in that you have a unique pastor. Weird maybe, but you're unique. You make the church unique in itself. There's not another person in the entire, all of eternity just like you, that speaks like you, that talks like you, that walks like you, that thinks like you think. Now, the adjustment is that we're all wanting, if we're going to be a church after the likeness of Jesus Christ, then the whole church is going to have to get to the place where we think like Jesus thinks. And that's why we're doing the Bible readings. That's why we get together to hear the message and to process that message. That's why we have small groups here. But living New Heights culture is special. And we're going to define culture in just a few minutes. This caused me, coming up with this sermon series caused me to ask a number of questions. I think 3 weeks ago, I had on the back of the bulletin about 30 questions down the page about questions about the church, about individuals and the church, about the church in itself, about the church universal, the church about New Heights specifically. All right, so I came up with 8 of those 30 questions I'd like for us just to ponder on to get our brains thinking along the line of the church. The first question I have for you, what is the purpose of being a church? What is the purpose of us being a church? Why are we together? Why did we just show up and this we decided that this is what we're going to do? Or was there something beyond ourselves that made this possible? So what is the purpose of the church? The second question I would like for us to consider is, can one have a relevant relationship with Jesus Christ? Can you have a relevant relationship with Jesus Christ apart from the church? Is it possible for you to have a meaningful relationship with God without having a church or being associated with church or participating in church or being a part of what God is doing in the body of Christ? That's a very interesting question. I'm not going to answer that question for you. I think you need to answer that question for you. Which leads to the third question that I have. Are churches supposed to look alike? I grew up in a church culture and as a young man and then as an adult. Most of my career, until I came to New Heights, we tried to be just like all the other churches that were a part of, that followed the same plan. And so we found ourselves ordering the same literature, organizing the Bible study the same, doing the same service. In fact, you could probably call up and go to most any church. The only thing that differs from one church to the other from Sunday to Sunday was the choices of songs because they used the same hymnals. So it was the same 30 songs that everybody knew in all the churches. Except for Christmas and Easter, then fortunately we pulled out a fresh one. Out of the hymnal, but it was the same one we sang the previous Easter and the same ones that we sang the previous Christmases. And so we were, the paradigm was, if it's working over here, then it's going to work everywhere. And so we don't need the Holy Spirit in a church like that. We just set up the system and live with the system. And we let Nashville call and send out the information so that Nashville would let you know when you're going to be having this Bible study and what and when you're going to be in the book of Genesis and when you're going to be. Somebody else made all the decisions for the church. Only thing the church had to worry about was what color the carpet was and who's going to clean it. You know, paint, what color the paint was on the wall. So that was the church. And that was the journey in which the church took. And we really didn't depend on the Holy Spirit too often. But fortunately, the Holy Spirit would show up and do His work in the hearts of people, and we were very fortunate in that. The fourth question is the church a part of God's plan for mankind? Is this something that men do, or is this something that God does? Is this God's plan for our church, or are we just out there trying to guess and do the best we can with what we got? Are we just imagining things? Do we just make changes whenever we think it's right? Or does the Holy Spirit have something to do? Which leads to another question is, if there were no church, if there were no church whatsoever, how would your life be different? If there were no church at all, how would your life be different? Well, I know right now you'd be doing something else right now. If there were no church. So at least for about 60 minutes on a Sunday morning, this week, the church is making a difference in your life, or at least you showed up, okay? I don't know if we're making that much of a difference. Only you can make that choice. Only the Spirit can make that choice about whether it's making any difference. But it is a pertinent question for us to consider if we're going to talk about the church. If there were no church, would your life be different? And then the last three question is, does the church equip people anymore? Or does the church equip anyone? Are you equipped to be the people that God wants you to be? Now, that's probably more a personal question, a question for your pastor. Maybe I threw that in because I needed to hear this message. I need to understand that I have a role, and the Bible says my role is to be an equipper. And there are other people in this church that have that responsibility and that role as well. They're called teachers, or people that have a sphere of ministry to organize and to put things together. But we have a responsibility to equip. And so this is one of the focuses that's going to be a part of New Heights these next few months, is for us to be in the equipping business. All right, the last question is the church dependent upon the Holy Spirit? I'm not sure that any of us can really figure that one out. Are we dependent upon the Holy Spirit? I think that we can know. We can be certain that God's at work in our lives. And so, and in the life of the church. But if a church is not dependent upon the Holy Spirit, then we are finding ourselves just doing the best we can with what we can dream up. What we can imagine that we think would be pleasing, at least pleasing to us, because God wouldn't make us do something we wouldn't want to do, would he? Well, I beg to differ. God makes us do everything that he would want to do, and sometimes we line up with it, but most of the time we do not. For instance, if you're only here out of habit, you didn't start doing that habit just because you liked it. You did it because God was drawing you to himself. And then you found yourself in a relationship with him, and now you find yourself continuing to either to grow, mature, or to be obedient to him, or you're resistant to it, and you're just a habit man. You're just a habit woman. You just do things out of habit. But if we become dependent upon the Spirit, then we're going to find out, we're going to be a part of that which only God can do. And that becomes a very important part of being the church. And then, is the church today what God wants? I'll leave that for you to ponder and for you to think about. I have a video I introduced you to last Sunday at the very beginning of the service. We're going to watch it here in just a moment. The word culture, as defined in this particular video, is called your system of beliefs and assumptions. Your system of beliefs and assumptions, and what they do to you in terms of behavior and thinking and actions and follow through, is a part of the calling that God has for us. Some of the words of this video are printed on your insert in the bulletin, but I want us to watch the video right now. Thank you. I've got some of the words of the that was in this video on your insert in your bulletin. Culture, your system of beliefs and assumptions. Your culture fuels your values, what you think's important, what you believe to be important. Your values drive your behavior. What you think's important will determine how you act and what you believe and where you invest your time, your energy, and your resources. Where you'll spend your time doing those things. And then Jesus doesn't want to modify our behavior. I thought that was a very interesting statement, and I've said that a number of times over the years. Jesus is not interested in you just being a good person. He wants you to be godly, and that has to do with something that only God can do, which is deep down in your heart. He can change why you do certain things. He can change when you do certain things. He can change how you do certain things, and all those are determined by your values, which are then driven by your beliefs and your assumptions. And so Jesus wants to change our culture. He wants to change what we believe and what we assume, which impacts, drives our values, then therefore determines our behavior. If all we do is focus on our behavior, then all we've done is conform to a certain behavior. But God wants to make us godly. He doesn't want us just to be good people. He wants us to be godly people. And so Jesus coming into our life where the Spirit can do His work transforms us. Doesn't conform us. It transforms us into His thinking, into His likeness. It changes us from the inside by the renewing of our mind in Romans chapter 12. And we're going to look at some verses here in just a few minutes from the Romans chapter 12. It goes on to say that Jesus wants to shift your culture. You've heard it said, every man for himself. But Jesus says, you must deny yourself. You must deny yourself. That is what Jesus says. And if that's going to be a part of our culture, then we're going to have to let Jesus empower us to embrace that which we would never embrace apart from His Spirit and apart from the power to be able to say no to sin, which basically is, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to do it when I want to do it. Take care of yourself. Look out for yourself. But God has a better plan. God has a greater plan. God has a majestic plan, and He invites New Heights people to be a part of His plan. He invites you to join Him in what He has planned and what He wants to accomplish in this world and in this church and in your life. So it covers every basis far and wide. Then the conclusion of the video says this: if you want to change your behavior, let Jesus change your values. If you want to change your behavior, let Jesus change your thinking. If you want to change your behavior, then let Jesus shift your culture. Let Jesus be in charge. He is the head of the body. He is the head of the church. He is the one that we are to follow. When He speaks, we hear. When He speaks, we follow. And more importantly, when He speaks, we obey. We have to be unified on this, and in this aspect of desiring and believing that God speaks to the whole church. He doesn't speak to just one individual about everything that's supposed to go on here. We're all different levels of maturity, but God's in the business of maturing each and every one of us. And it's time for us all to grow up and to know that we need to deny ourselves. We need to sacrifice for the cause of Christ. We need to find ourselves being obedient to God because He's got a plan, and you are part of His plan. You have ears to hear, let him hear, Jesus said over and over again, whoever has ears to hear. Now, I have four truths I have for New Heights here this morning based upon this message. The first of the four truths for the New Heights family is that God wants His people to love one another. Here at New Heights, we've said that repeatedly down through the love God and love others as God defines love. That's all that matters. But we can't get away from this because no matter where we slice the scripture, I said earlier, no matter what page you turn to, you'll find that God says, God said, or God spoke, or God conveyed, God instructed, God commanded. You'll find that all the way through scripture. So we have a God that speaks, but there's also one other theme that shows up in the scriptures over and over and over and over again, and that's the word love. Love God and love others. In fact, Jesus was so convinced of this, he worded it this way. He says, if you took everything in Scripture, that's ever been written by the prophets, that's in the law, everything that's ever been written in the Old Testament, and everything, I'll say everything that's been written in the New Testament, Jesus said everything that's been written is to convey, can be summed up in these two phrases, love God and love others. Love God and love others. That's all that matters. The rest of it's just helping us to define what loving God and loving others is. It's for allowing God to communicate how he's dealt with man down through history, and how he's transformed lives, and how he's changed people from the inside. And what God has accomplished, this is why the church exists. It's because Jesus had a plan, and he wanted to use a group of people like the people that show up here on New Heights week after week. He wants them to grow, and he wants them to mature, he wants them to be healthy, and he wants them to know how to love one another. And so this loving one another becomes a very important part of our system here at New Heights, a part of the calling, part of our culture. The second of the four truths of New Heights Church family is no one individual has the total vision for God's will for a church. No one individual has the total vision of God's will for the church. God speaks to each and every one of us. God's given us a vision. There's no doubt about it. There's a group of people that got together. I had no idea what New Heights needed to be like. I didn't have an agenda. But there's a group back in 17 years ago that got together and said, God, what do you want us to do? And we were started by First Baptist Church. And First Baptist Church says, we don't need another First Baptist Church. We don't need another church that has the choir and orchestra and the organ. We don't need another church that's structured and put together just like us. If anybody's looking for a church like that, they can come and find it here at First Baptist. We want you to be a church that would reach people that may never show up at First Baptist Church at Farmington. And guess what? Some of you are wearing shorts here this morning. You don't do that at First Baptist. No, at First Baptist, staff was required to wear a suit and tie every Sunday. And sometimes on Wednesday, I can remember being scolded for having a dress shirt or a tie or dress pants on one day when I was planning to clean out closets and clean the building. I was scolded. What are you slumming today? That was an attitude. It was part of the culture. You dress up. You look your best. You always look your best. Put your best foot forward. You represent God. You wouldn't go to heaven dressed like that, would you? I don't know what I'm going to be wearing in heaven. I have no idea what I'm going to be wearing in heaven. But I know what my shoes are not going to be non-scuffed because I don't want to mess up the golden streets, you know, whatever. But, you know, I didn't know. But different churches have different cultures. They're trying to reach different groups of people. And so we began to say, come as you are. That was a theme. Come as you are. Then you don't have to dress up. Just come as you are. Then we had somebody on the parking lot a couple weeks ago visiting our church. He was just here, during the week. I was out there visiting with him. Somebody that needed some assistance. He looked over at the back of the church van and he goes, I may just have to come here. I said, all right. You're always welcome. And I didn't know what he was referencing. He pointed toward the van and says, no perfect people allowed. That sounds like a church for me. All right, so we're no perfect people allowed here at New Heights. So we use that as a theme to help define our culture. And so we help define our culture. And once we have a definition of our culture, that impacts our values. And then it impacts our behavior, how we treat people that come in shorts. And don't have a suit and a tie. And we have to watch ourselves to make sure that we're nice to people that wear a suit and tie here. Don't we? They look out of place, don't they? But we have to learn how to love people with suit and ties. Because God didn't say, I want you to love everybody except for people in a suit and tie. No. It's not how they're dressed. It's who they are. They're people. They're made in the image of God. And we have a responsibility to make sure that we love them like God wants us to love them, as God defines love. We don't get to decide how we treat people. God gets to decide how we treat people. And we have to be in unity on this. We have to have a uniform process, not just do it. We don't do it alike. I don't love people the same way that some of you do, because you have a different approach. You're just different. It's even if you try to mimic me, you'd look fake. If you use the same words that I use all the time, you'd be an imposter, wouldn't you? You're not being yourself. So God put you together perfect for your part in the body, and so you need to feel free, have a freedom. You need to be liberated to be yourself. Now, it has to do with spiritual maturity. God doesn't want you to be the same spiritual maturity tomorrow that He has you today. In fact, I believe that each and every one of you are spiritually mature exactly where God wants you to be today. You're not behind. You're not ahead. You're exactly where God wants you to be spiritually, in your thinking, in your surrender, and in His will. But tomorrow, you better not be the same as you were today. Because God has a plan. We're going to find that out in Scripture. God has a plan for you to continue to grow, for you to continue to be healthy. God has a plan for you to continue to love one another. The great challenge before the church. The third of the four truths that God has for the New Heights Church family is a church needs to hear the whole counsel of God through the Bible, through prayer, through circumstances, and through the church. See, God reveals His will through each of these elements. We need to be paying attention in our prayer life what God is saying to us. We need to be paying attention to what the Holy Spirit is guiding us when we read the Bible. We need to be paying attention through the circumstances. God uses circumstances. He doesn't just use circumstances. He uses circumstances as He teams up with the church. And He uses the church to convey His will. And so He uses the church. He speaks to each and every one of us. No one of us has a monopoly on knowing what God wants for New Heights. So we have to work that out. And how do we do that? Well, we start asking each other. We start seeking God's will. We find ourselves surrendered. I don't know what the plan is, but I know one thing for sure. As your pastor, I want what God wants more than I want what I want. I want what God wants more than what you want. But if He speaks to you and He gives you guidance, then I have to consider what God has said to you and what God is saying to others, and what the circumstances look like, and what our prayer life looks like, and what our Bible says, and then we start lining all those things up, and then we clearly know exactly where God is leading us as the Holy Spirit directs His church. And the fourth of these spiritual truths, the fourth of four truths for the New Heights Church family is sharing what God is doing in my life may help someone else encounter God in a meaningful way. See, sometimes we think that God speaks to us and it's just for our benefit. And so we begin to be hoarders. We begin to hang on to that which God said to us. The fact that you're here this morning, you're hearing something, and God speaks to you, doesn't mean it's just for you to go home and say, "Oh, look how much I've gotten. Look how much I can carry in my backpack. I packed my backpack this morning with a lot of stuff, and I take it home, and then I put it in the closet, and I don't get it out again." It's time for us to show Mama what's in the backpack. When you get home from school, you show Mama what's in the backpack. You show her your homework. You show her your grades. You show her what's going on. You show what has been revealed to you at school. And so we have the same responsibility when we hear from the Word of God. It's not for you to hoard or to hang on to. It's not just for you. It's for the body. We need to be taking care of one another. And so don't think that what God says to you is insignificant or just for you. You can believe with all your heart that God has a plan and He wants you to be sharing this with others. In Romans, that Paul wrote this letter to the early church. There was a church in Rome, a group of Christians. Some of them are brand new Christians. Some of them have been Christians for a little while. And in the third verse of the chapter 12, beginning with verse 3 through verse 6, it reads like this: "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you." So Paul said, God spoke to me and He gave me grace. And I'm sharing this with you for your benefit, the principle I just shared. God didn't give this to Paul just for him to have. He wrote it down. He wanted to pass it along. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. God is in the business of speaking to each and every one of us. This is something that I think most of us miss out on. Most of us have not developed a relationship with God, that God's been pursuing us, but we've been slow to catch on. And it takes too much time to read my Bible. Or it's too confusing. I don't read the Bible. Well, best way to read the Bible is start reading it. Best way to understand the Bible is to start spending time with it. And then you have small groups. You have opportunity to come on Sunday to hear this. You should be taking home these messages on Sunday morning and meditating and thinking about the words that God said to you that he had recorded, that he passed on down through history. So in Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 3, it says, By the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. And the verses go on to say, for just as each of us has one body, and with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. Even my right hand and my left hand, they look a lot alike, and they can do a lot of the same things, but guess what? My right hand seems to be able to do some things better than my left hand. And my left hand does things that it cannot do. It tries to do things it could not do without my right hand's assistance. These two hands work very well together. Sometimes, have you ever tried to carry something, a full 5-gallon bucket of tomatoes or a full five-gallon bucket of tar or something, and you pick it up, and you're saying, man, I wish I had another hand to pick up the other one on the other side. It'd be a little easier if I had to be in balance. And so I find myself, I need my right hand to pick up the one on the right side. I need my left hand to pick up the one on the left side. And then my whole body can move much easier. But sometimes I get it up, I can only put both hands over here. And now I can carry the 5-gallon bucket without tipping over or falling down. And so I find myself needing my right hand, needs my left hand. My left hand needs my right hand. And my whole body benefits from both hands doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I find myself getting where I'm supposed to be going and doing that which I could not do if I only had one hand. And the same is true with the body of Christ. Some of you are right hand, some are left. Some of you are better at some things than you are than others are. And some of us just have to acknowledge that. Sometimes we just have to be happy being one of those hands. Or an elbow. My hands wouldn't be much use without elbows. So my elbows are pretty vital and important, aren't they? And then I got biceps. You noticed that right away, didn't you? Yeah, we got shoulders. We're all important. We're all vital. Not many people notice and talk about my shoulders. I keep them pretty well covered up most of the time. But boy, wouldn't I look weird without shoulders. Wouldn't it be a challenge for me to function without my shoulders? And yet we don't talk about our shoulders. We don't visit about our shoulders. We don't notice the shoulders. But if they weren't there, you'd sure notice it. And so it is with each one of you. When you're not here doing your part in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God, then it does have an impact. It doesn't look quite right. We're not able to accomplish everything that God has planned for us because he put us together for a purpose and for a reason. Just as each part of us has one body, but many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. Each member belongs to all the others. You're vital. We're tied together. Just like my body, my hand just can't decide. It says, well, I think I'm going to go to Park Hills tomorrow without the rest of it showing up where it's supposed to show up. My hand just can't go do whatever it wants to do. The head decides where the hand goes. The head decides what function it's going to be. He's decided that I'm a hand. This is a hand. And then the head tells the hand what to do, and it waves. And it shakes. And sometimes it even drops things. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, says, these are the gifts that God gave the church, making reference to spiritual leaders, pastors, evangelists, prophets, teachers, one and on. It says, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do the work, His work, and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to the unity in our faith. That's one of the priorities that God has for our church. We come to unity in the faith and the knowledge of God's Son. We have to continue to be focused upon God's Son. And in Ephesians, two verses later, in verse 16 of the fourth chapter, it says, He, making reference to Christ, He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is what? Healthy? So that the whole body is growing, maturing, and so the whole body is full of love. Again, we can't get away from that word. L-O-V-E. How important is that? How important is love at your family? When love's not present, is there turmoil? Is there division? Is there frustration? Is there confusion? When love's not there, all these things happen. But when love shows up, then God wins. Love shows up and God wins, and it makes a difference. But it also helps us to be healthy. It helps us to grow. And it also helps us to be to have a faith, our faith in unity, to increase our knowledge of His Son. Now, I have seven mandates I would like to suggest that God has given us as a result of this message today. The first one is this: assume that you are vital to the body. I think cultures has to do with assumptions. Let's just assume that you're vital to the body of Christ. It's very important for you to believe that with all your heart, that you're not just here because you chose to be here. You're here because God has a plan. You're here because God has a plan. So assume that you're vital to the body. The second is approach every relationship encounter with humility. Be dependent upon God. Doesn't matter what you think, doesn't matter what you want, but all that matters is what God thinks and what God wants. If we could sell out and say, it doesn't matter, I don't have an opinion, but I do have a God that reveals to the church, to the body, to each of us as individuals, what He wants us to do. So being humble enough to say, God, I just want what You want. That's all that matters. The third one is obey God in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to you. Be obedient in what you know God wants you to do. Be obedient to the degree that God has revealed that to you. Don't be one of those people that say, well, I think God wants me to do this, but that's not something I'm very comfortable doing. I believe somebody oughta. You ever heard the oughta story? Somebody oughta do that. Oughta. Oughta, oughta, oughta. That's a foreign language, isn't it? Oughta. All right. Somebody oughta do this. Well, that oughta, somebody, if God revealed that to you, it might just be you. Now everybody's got clammed up. They don't make any suggestions. Somebody ought to have a hymn caroling get together. The fourth one is God's grace is why we are vital. God's grace is why you are vital, appointed and assigned to the task of building up the body of Christ. This building up the body of Christ has become a passion of mine. It has become one of my motives, my way of expressing love to God. Is to just keep building up the body of Christ. And you know, it kind of comes supernatural to me because I've been supernaturally endowed with a gift, a spiritual gift called exhortation. Exhortation is the building up. It's an encouragement. And so it comes out of my heart even when I am having a bad day, when the Spirit's in control, this is what comes out. The fifth one is, the New Heights must be more intentional about equipping one another. Therefore, every member must find a place to serve. Everybody in this church needs to have a place to serve. God has not called you to this church for you to be a spectator. He has called you here for a purpose. You need to have a responsibility, and you need to fulfill that responsibility. You need to grow. It needs to be challenging. It needs to be something that's not necessarily something you want to do. It's something that God wants you to do. Because we have a God that speaks. Now he's going to speak to you, and we've already covered that one. Number six, each part is to help the other parts to grow. Each part of this body is to help all the other parts to grow, to be healthy, to be full of love, to mature. And the seventh and the last one is the reality. Each one doing their part will make the whole body healthy, mature, growing, and full of love. Each part doing their part will make the church healthy. It'll help the church to grow, to be mature, and it also allow us to be full of love. Let's bow our heads for prayer. God, we need to respond, and we need to be responsive to you. We know